There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Yellow Dragon Journal podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hello there.
So, Niksha, what's up?
Oh, nothing. Getting hyped for Ravnica.
Yet again.
So, we had a little PAX convention where they did a panel, and it wasn't live-streamed, but they did tell us everything they did, what they said, so it's just like we watched it, only a day later.
Now, before we go into the spoilers, how has your week been? Because it's actually been like a week.
Oh, yeah, not the previous month, but yeah. So, we finished our standard league for the M19 season. I placed fifth and won some boosters, and I was just thinking about, oh man, this went so well. I just completely randomly entered this league with my budget mono black deck. The only non-budget cards in it were Fatal Push and Ballista, but those are my modern cards, so I don't count them.
Yeah.
But like, no Vraskas or Contempts or anything like that. Just, you know, a deck that was born from pure hatred towards creatures.
Wow. Sounds like it was something I would play.
I mean, it was all triggered by that Hydra, that stupid Hydra.
Yeah, you're still banging the scars.
So, yeah, I placed fifth, got some boosters, and was thinking, man, this went so dandy. I just hope that this whole experience isn't completely ruined by me opening a Palladium Ors.
And then?
I opened the Palladium Ors.
Oh, really?
I mean, well, I did open another mythic, but it was Apex of Power.
Ooh.
yikes. So, yeah, I got this Palladium Ors, and it's actually painful owning it.
I mean, give it to us.
No, it doesn't work that way. I need to get rid of it in a way that they'll feel cathartic to me. I can't just, you know, throw it away or give it to somebody. I need to find a way to get rid of it.
Find the name of some random player in our community, send to them.
I'll think about it. But yeah, that sounds kind of okay.
I mean,
do I really want to propagate my hate towards another person?
Wait, Niksha, do it like this. So, community, anybody wants a free Palladium Ors?
No? Nobody? Okay.
No. I mean, let us know after the show if anybody wants. We'll make something happen.
Yeah, you can even put a little note on it if you wish.
Although we still need to send the last batch of cards we need to send because I still need a third token from you, Niksha.
Okay. I'll get to it.
Yeah. Anywho, besides the standard leak, how has your week been?
Fine. Busy. Doing some work, on the weekends, that kind of stuff. My commander decks finally came.
Oh my god.
I had to go to their warehouse on the other side of the city, and then I had to wait for an hour for them to actually find the damn package.
Wow.
They're
really competent.
And they even asked me, like, we're having troubles finding your package. Do you want to leave your information so we send it Monday? No.
I'll wait.
I'll just wait.
Did you have any commanders in the week?
Well, I have two, and those are Gyrus and Sphinx. What's its face?
Did Gyrus actually do anything?
Yeah, not yet, but I'm liking the direction I'm taking. So I did get a couple of dredge cards, and the only problem is I need to, you know, actually attack with Gyrus. And I'm not actually doing anything else with my dredging stuff. So I need to find something else to do while Gyrus isn't attacking.
That sounds like a bit of a flaw.
I mean, it's me, isn't it?
Ah, yeah, you know.
I mean, playing the phage, the untouchable, is an actual flaw, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah, but it's, you're doing it for cool points.
I mean, the science has to be made.
Yeah.
And also, there are some sweet cards coming for the deck in Ravnica.
We'll get to that real soon.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with those two as my commanders of the week. They've been doing okay-ish. I'll be trying them out more and upgrading them as I see fit. How about you, Igor?
We actually had our game night like an hour ago. It finished. It was Tess, Danny, and me. Danny actually finally got his Doretti deck, and he started playing it, and he's been doing a lot of Wurmcoil Recursion, so that reminded me of you. Most games ended up like this. Tess and Danny butted heads, and each was on like 50 to 80 life, because Wurmcoil is in lifelink and stuff. Yeah, Danny would have Wurmcoil so that would gain him life, Tess would just have True Conviction with dinosaurs.
Of course.
And I would be on the sidelines getting some damage on the side randomly and ending the game at like 2 to 10 life and comboing off. Okay. Each and every goddamn time.
They still don't learn, do they?
We haven't played in a while, so I'll shock it to death. They have just forgotten.
Okay, sure.
But after this Sunday, I think we'll just smack my face next time we play.
Most probably.
But the weird thing about these games was that Alesha wasn't actually texting or anything. She was just playing her dirtly creatures and dirtling out and actually, you know, just, oh, look, I'll randomly combo off.
But doesn't that, like, don't, like, most games go that way? I mean, just sometimes you get to, you know, pay some taxes. Come on.
This time there wasn't that much taxes. Most taxes I did was with Bloodpod, and that was with turn 2 Eidolon Rhetoric, and that was the most taxes I did.
Wow.
Tess did more taxes than I did with that stupid dinosaur that makes your creatures come into play tapped. And I was looking at my Birthing Pod and Fell the Guardian, and I could have gotten to get Kiki Jiki, but I was looking at the dinosaur. I was just like, well, this is going to take a while.
Oh, you know what I find frustrating?
What?
Gyrus makes creature tokens.
Yep.
That's so annoying. Just why?
We have complained about him last episode. Why does he do so many stupid things?
No, but just why does he have to make a token that's a copy? Why not just reanimate the guy and then exile him? I mean, you're not playing blue. You're not going to flicker him.
Maybe people in Wizards saw my Alesha deck and they were like, no, this is too much. I don't know. Okay, let's blame this on me, please.
Okay, sure. Igor, stop playing Alesha. You're ruining my fun.
Sod off, no.
Oh, like, you're not ruining it by actually playing it.
I know.
You're meta ruining my fun. So stop it.
But seriously, I have no idea why is he doing that. He's in three colors. You need to sink a bunch of mana in him to get, you know, anything worthwhile. And I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, but enough of the commanders of the week.
Yeah. It's spoiler season! Hooray!
Hooray! So, Ravnica is coming out in like...
A month.
2-3 weeks. Yeah, month.
End of the month, yeah.
Yeah. So, what are we doing? What guilds are going to be appearing in the...
So, we got the Izzet, the Golgari, the Celestnia, the Dimir, and the Boros. So, all the enemy-colored ones.
Dimir.
Wait, no, not... Yes, they actually are. No, not all the enemy-colored ones. Sorry. Wait, are they? It's red and blue?
You have Celestnia, you have Dimir,
oh, yeah,
Boros,
oh, yeah,
Izzet, and Golgari.
Yeah, it doesn't actually have any, you know, friendly, unfriendly. Yeah, it's just guilds.
But yeah, we have this. Do we have some new keywords, maybe, next time?
Just four of them. But we'll get to them with card examples.
So, wanna do it right now?
Well, first of all, Shocklands! Woohoo!
Is anybody surprised that Shocklands are back?
Yes.
Why?
Actually, yes. You know why?
Why?
Because Wizards proven that they're incompetent enough to not include them in Ravnica.
I don't think they're actually that bad. It's a shoo-in just to put this in. So do you want people buying packs? Here. Shocks.
I mean, yeah, that sounds really reasonable and really the intelligent thing to do.
Wow.
But, you know, Wizards aren't really... I mean, they did some good things, but not a lot.
So, listeners, if you ever hear me complain, why don't we ever get spoilers? Here we go!
That's not true.
Yeah, we have much different reasons.
So, yeah, we get the Shocklands, and well, this will be the time to get them. I mean, if you're not gonna get them now, we'll just have to wait another 6 years.
Actually, wait until, like, December? Because enough packs will be open, so the price will drop.
Yeah, somewhere around when the next set comes out, because then they'll stop being drafted.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, I think that the prices will come down.
I know I'm getting at least a couple, so.
I mean, I'm planning on attempting to get at least one of each, and then, you know, getting one of each again and again.
Yeah.
And yeah. Again. At least 4 times. I'll try.
So, Shocks are here. What else is here?
Convoke is back.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an early preview of Convoke with their buy a box card.
Gee, Miksha, what card is that?
It's an Impervious Great Worm.
What?
So it's a worm, which automatically means that I must acquire a box because, you know, the buy a box promo.
Or maybe 4.
No, I just need 1 worm. What are you talking about?
You always need more.
So, well, not of this one. So, Impervious Great Worm is a 7 and triple green for a 16/16 worm with Convoke and Indestructible. So, I mean, it's big. That's all it has going for it.
Well, it's a worm. You can play it in your worm deck.
I can, but no, because it's 10 mana, and I'm not going to tap worms to play a worm. I'm going to attack with worm.
Maybe tap mana dogs?
I'm tapping them anyway.
I know.
Okay. I mean, I've been thinking about redesigning the deck to not be just tribal worms, but go more of some kind of, not stormy, but spell-slingy kind of deck and use my commander as to get more cards in some way. So, I don't know, maybe the worm would fit in, like, a tokeny style of deck, I guess. I'll see. There's a lot of theory crafting for.
Between 1 to 10, how good is this worm?
Well, it costs 10 mana. So that's a minus 10 score, but it has 16 power, which is a 16 score.
So 6 out of 10?
Well, it also has Convoke and Indestructible. So I'm going to go with 9 out of 10.
And does the flavor text add anything to it?
No, it doesn't really.
Okay, but we have Convoke. What's next?
Next up, let's see. Well, Legion Warboss. So, Legion Warboss is a 2 and a red for a 2/2 creature goblin soldier. See, he's 2/2, so he's and he's red.
He's a great ogre.
He's also a very good magic card.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I'm not sure I'll be getting this guy with any of the tutors.
I know. Still, he has Mentor. And Mentor says, whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power.
So Boris is getting even more aggressive strategies. Hooray!
No, it's... Okay, let me just read. At the beginning of combat, on your turn, create a 1/1 red goblin creature token. That token gains haste until end of turn and attacks this combat if able.
Yeah.
Does this sound familiar, maybe?
If only there was a card we've seen like this.
A card that dominated Standard, perhaps.
And it still is really good in Legacy, at least.
In Legacy? Huh.
And even in Vintage, a bit.
Not so good in Modern.
Because you play much more creature removal in Modern.
Plus, it's a bit faster format.
Faster than Vintage?
I mean, it's a fast format for its... comparing to, like... Vintage and Legacy, it's relatively fast, you have to admit.
It is, but the thing is, you have much more spot removal in Modern than you have in Vintage.
I know.
But what's his name? Goblin Rebel Master, right?
Yep.
Of course, Goblin Rebel Master is much better than Legion Warboss.
So when we've found out the mechanics like a couple of days ago, and Mentor sounded a bit different than this. In the early leaks of the mechanics, Mentor said that when this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on creatures with lesser power. this doesn't actually do that. It puts a possible counter on one creature. So this mechanic is actually like...
It's a good unlimited.
It's better than Radiant. I'll give it that.
Oh, definitely.
It might be able... It might be better than...
A Battalion?
Than Battalion, sure. And maybe better than...
I mean, we need to see how they implement this.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of whatever. I mean, it's a Rebel Master that pumps the Goblin it creates.
If you want to.
But yeah, Goblins are also a legit strategy in Standard.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is an okay card, and we have to see what happens to it.
It's a decent Goblin. It's a Standard card.
It's a good Rebel Master impression.
Yep. Can you get us a card with some other new mechanic, Igor?
Wait. I need to get... I have to represent my guild. So, Tote Erasure. This is not, you know, something spectacular, but for blue and black, it's a sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. Then play this card, that card, and it has Surveil of 1. Look at the top card of your library. You may put it into your graveyard.
So it's like... Better Scry.
Yeah. Depending on what you want to do with it, of course.
I mean, I would argue that most of the times you would rather have a card in your graveyard than on the bottom of your library.
Yeah, most of the time. I mean, definitely in Commander. Unless your name is Grin the Dungeon Warden.
Of course. But fortunately, Dimir isn't in Grenz's color.
There's gonna be some black cards with Surveil.
Of course there.
But generally, I don't mind this keyword. It's not good as Transmute, but not many things are.
Yeah, maybe Dredge and Con.
Oh.
But it's a neat mechanic. I also really looking forward to how they implement it. And Thought Erasure by itself isn't a bad card.
It's basically the rest with next to thing to it.
I'm thinking more along the lines that last time we had two mana discards in Standard, they were still restrictive. This has no restrictions, except the non-land card.
Last time I remember it was Exile, though.
That was Castigate.
Also, there was also Transgress the Mind, right?
Yeah,
with CMC 3 or less.
CMC 3 or less, yes. So that's also a restriction.
Yeah. I mean, this is good. Of course, it's a discard, not an Exile, but still good.
Mm-hmm. Decent. Also Surveil 1. Just adds to it.
And you can actually get bigger numbers, apparently.
Well, as soon as there's Surveil 1, there's bound to be Surveil 2 at some point. Even
I'm looking forward to bigger numbers.
I'm looking forward to Surveil X.
Oh, God. Pay X life, Surveil X.
Yeah, I'll just, you know, put one card from my deck in my deck and the rest in my graveyard. Let's go. Let's go. Come on.
Next interesting keyword, let's go with Undergrowth. So Necrotic Wound for black, it's an instant. Undergrowth. Target creature gets -X until the end of turn, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead.
So it just counts the number of creature cards in your graveyard.
Yeah. It's basically number of creatures in your graveyard and something happens.
Yeah, it's not that typical keyword where you have the parentheses and the italics.
It's not keyword, it's what? How do you call it?
I don't know, but it's similar to Threshold or Landfall, those things.
This is a good way to get rid of the Scarab Gods.
Which won't be in the format.
Generally, of gods themselves.
Yep. If you still have to pay the price to do this.
I mean, if you're playing with this in your deck, you're most likely actively working on putting things in the graveyard.
And speaking of putting things in graveyard, is it have just the mechanic for that?
Yeah.
So, Quasi-Duplicate is a 1 and blue for a sorcery. Create a token that's a copy of target creature you control. It has Jumpstart. You may cast this card from your graveyard by discarding a card in addition to paying its other costs. Then exile this card.
So basically this is much slower Kekken counterpart without flashback.
Yeah, so it's basically flashback, but, you know, a combination of flashback and retrace.
Yeah.
Except you can't cast it more than once, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, this is a weird mechanic for Izzet, I would say. I mean, sure, it's like when your engine breaks down and then you have to get another car to jumpstart your engine or something like that. So they're jumpstarting their spells like that, which might be fine. This isn't really that impressive. I mean, discarding a card to turning a card into quasi-duplicate, but I can already see, like, a jumpstart mage, perhaps. Like a fixed version of Snapcaster.
Yeah, that guy needs actually fixing.
Only they probably won't give it flash, so it won't be really
of
as good.
Of course they won't.
Why not? I mean, they can put it in. Nothing's going to happen. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Want to go to the next spoiler, the most broken of them all?
Oh, the one that's so broken that they needed to upshift it?
Yep. Well, kids, Narco Amoeba is back. For one blue, you can actually break format if the format is legacy or vintage or, you know, basic of that. So it's a creature illusion that's 1/1. It flies, and when it's put into your graveyard from your library, you may put it onto the battlefield. And it's a rare now.
Yeah, because, you know, 2-mana 1/1 flyers are so good at rare in drafting.
I think this is more because of the complexity of it. For
it's
new players.
Not, but it's really not complex. I mean, it says what it does on the card. There's literally no hidden meaning behind it. There are no special rule interactions around it. I mean, if they're talking about draft experience, this is a feel bad draft experience. When your rare is a 1/1 flying for 2. It's like playing Kamigawa all over again.
Kamigawa was a good draft player, and shut up.
Well, I mean, a 2-mana 1/1 flying would be amazing in Kamigawa, because a 1/1 flying would be like 5-mana in Kamigawa.
Kamigawa actually had really good drafting archetypes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Want to talk about Legend?
Sure. I just wanted to mention that how good all these synergy, how good all these mechanics except Convoke synergize with one another, except Mentor as well. Yeah, so Convoke and Mentor, who cares about them? Like, Surveil puts cards in your graveyard. Those cards can have Jumpstart, and you can get Narco Amoeba from Surveil, and you can fuel your graveyard with, like, creature cards from your Jumpstart to feed into, what's it called? Undergrowth.
Yeah.
So they interact with each other in a, you know, nice way. Only, you know, playing a four-color graveyard matter deck is kind of wonky.
It's going to be a good limited experience and sealed as well, because of the synergies.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk Legends. Go on, Igor.
So, we have Emara, Soul of the Accord. Finally, a good Emara card. Or is good enough. For green and white, it's a 2/2 legendary elf cleric, and whenever she becomes tapped, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token with lifelink.
Now, why isn't it an elf?
Isn't it? You mean the soldiers?
Yeah. Because if it were an elf, it would work so good with Heritage Druid.
Wanna have something stupider?
What?
So you put Karametros, I think it's Blessing, on her. Basically, it's comes into play, draw a card enchantment. And enchanted creature has tap, add 1 mana of any color to 2 mana pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have that on Emara, and you have Intuitive Alarm.
Yeah, same works with Paradise Mantle.
Yeah.
Infinite dudes, infinite mana, seems good.
Yeah, so you can do those things.
So, yeah, just unlike the last Emara, this one's actually playable.
Mm-hmm. I wish she was a wizard, so I could put her in Wizard Ball in Derevi. Tap her, get the tokens.
So, yeah, in a token strategy or combo strategy, she could work, but nothing really that exciting. No, not commander material, I would say.
She's playable, at least.
At least playable. And she'll be a promo, so there you go.
Yeah.
And this is the lieutenant cycle of commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual commanders from the guildmasters will probably be mythic. And we still don't have any of them, but soon.
We have one mythic creature and one planeswalker to talk about, right?
Yep.
So which one do you want to talk about?
So my main guild, of course.
Of course.
So we got Ral, Is It Viceroy. It's a 3 blue and a red for a legendary planeswalker Ral. 5 loyalty, and for plus 1, you look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Minus 3, he deals damage to target creature equal to the number of instant and sorcery cards you own in exile and in your graveyard.
Nice.
And minus 8, you know, you basically almost win the game. You get an emblem with whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this emblem deals 4 damage to any target, and you draw 2 cards.
So, what do we focus on with him?
We focus on that he's a generally okay playable planeswalker like Obnik and Teferi, because he basically does this as both of them.
Yeah.
He's a 5 mana, 5 loyalty. Teferi is 4. His plus 1 is draw a card with some other thing attached to it. His minus 3 is a removal. And his minus 8 is, you know, win the game.
If you ever get to it.
And they even all cost the same in all 3 versions.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this is the thing that looks like what Planeswalkers should be. Doesn't take over the game by itself, but gives you incremental advantage.
I mean, Jace the Mind Sculptor doesn't win you the game.
Sure.
Unless you can use
Sure, bring Jace the Mind Sculptor into the conversation when talking about Ral. Okay.
I mean, 2 of them have kind of a hit-love relationship, so...
Yeah, we'll see how that develops in this story. So he's... I would say that he's decent. The fact that he puts a card in the graveyard means that he's good in, like, Sedris. You know, Grixis graveyard matter strategies. So he's a double win in those decks. So he's a, like, auto-include. For, like, Izzet decks, you have better options, I think.
Sadly, the minus 3 is to a creature, not to a player.
Yeah. I mean, it's creature removal, just... I mean, you can target your stuffy doll, so there you go. You can kill somebody. Yay? Well, can you? To guard a creature... Oh, yeah. Target creature. It doesn't say target creature and opponent controls.
Yep.
Come on, reprint stuffy doll.
He's fine. Wizards. Wow. But he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Another card we saw is the Underrealm Lich.
Hmm?
For 3 black and a green, it's a 4/3 Zombie Elf Shaman. And if you would draw a card, instead look at the top 3 cards of your library, then put one of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Pay for life, it becomes indestructible until in a turn, tap it.
Again,
basically.
You know, we had a card that did something like this.
But yeah, opinions of the card. Who?
Tomorrow, Azami's familiar.
Oh yeah, he will do what?
Tomorrow did the same thing, but he...
I'm making the joke. Tomorrow, Azami's familiar will do what? Get it? Because it sounds like a sentence. Oh, I'll be quiet.
He'll put your cards on the bottom of your deck. That's what he'll...
You know what Tomorrow, Azami's familiar does? It makes brainstorms a headache.
Yeah, it does. It actually makes anything. Drawing cards a headache.
Yep.
I mean, this one will do it too, but guess what? It's not in blue, so...
I mean, I think you should be playing it in something like a Sultai deck.
Maybe a Damia, and when you have no cards in your hand? Eh?
Oh God.
Yay?
I was meaning more of something like CDC, like Mimeoplasm.
No, you know what Underrealm Lich does better than Tomorrow?
Hmm?
He goes into Karador.
Yes, Karador is also one of the good places.
And also Gyrus.
Sure? If you include him.
In CDC,
but something like Meren, something like Karador?
Yeah, in CDC, the tricolor CDC, perfect.
I did mention her.
Yes, I just didn't mention it. It's perfect in her.
Yeah, he's legit doing those decks.
So, some of the other cards we can go over. Conclave Tribunal for 3 and a white, an enchantment with Convoke, and when it enters the battlefield, it's an Oblivion Ring.
Oh yeah, 4 mana instead of 3, and it can be less.
Yeah, Convoke makes it a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Sinner's Sabotage for 1 and blue, an instant that counters a spell with Surveil 1. Which reminds us of Dissolve, and Dissolve was a very popular card in Standard, so this one, it won't perform any less goodly.
One more thing to mention about this whole set, we'll actually get a freaking novel out of this, finally.
Yeah, an actual book.
I didn't expect that.
By an actual author.
And what we can see is that Kaya is actually going to be here.
Yeah, she's supposedly going to help assassinating the Obsidat, but, you know, if the author, like, paid attention to the stories of old, that won't serve any purpose, actually. It will just free up a space for Taysa.
I think Taysa is the one who's hiring and actually doing that.
Yeah, but Taysa doesn't mean to kill the whole council. She just wants, you know, her place among them.
Or kill the creepy ghost uncle.
Okay, yeah, sure. She can kill the creepy ghost uncle because he's just creepy. Without any ulterior motives. Just get rid of him. I don't like him. Because, you know, I'm sure that as soon as one of them is killed, that they'll just, you know, make Kaya disappear because they have the power to.
Yep.
Just Kaya be gone.
Kaya be gone. Goodbye, Felicia.
So yeah, we'll see how the story checks out. The trailer is talking something about intrigues.
Mm-hmm. So are Dimir at it again?
Yeah, but there's also some subtext about, you know, alien invader assistance or something like that, which is obviously Nicol Bolas.
Yeah.
So we'll see what guild goes under Bolas's will not. I mean, is that are pretty much under his control because Ral Zarek.
I'm hoping that it's not the Dimir because it's too obvious. And what I liked about Ravnica, the first one, is that the Dimir were kind of the bad guys, but just in the first novel. And everybody else was super assholy going on.
I mean, I imagine Dimir as like a neutral party. They just do things for their profit, not anyone else's.
I'm hoping for that. But yeah. Anything else we need to talk about today?
There's this enchantment that's actually unreadable still, so we'll just skip over it.
Yeah, let's not mention that.
And we got some new masterpieces, actually.
Yeah, what are those?
So, Wizards are making special Mythic Edition booster boxes that will have 24 packs in it, and there will be 8... full art Planeswalker cards in, I don't know, it's like in the whole box, eight of them, or like in a pack one? No, I think it's all 8 of them will be in the box. The boxes are $250 MSRP, but they can only be bought through Hasbro.
Hmm.
And Hasbro does not ship out of USA and Canada.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I mean, they do look nice. And they're all actually pretty decent walkers. So we got Elspeth Knight Errant, Teferi Hero of Dominaria, Dareti Ingenious Iconoclast, that's a bit odd one, Liliana the Last Hope, unless we see Dareti in the set. Oh. I mean, if Kaya is there, then there's no reason Dareti... Anyway, Liliana the Last Hope, Nicol Bolas Planeswalker, of course, Ral Izzet Viceroy, Tezzeret Agent of Bolas, and the 8th one is the mysterious new Planeswalker that will be in the set.
Whoever he may be.
Yeah, I heard some rumors that he looks like Doctor Strange, so wow. looks like Wizards are going full on Infinity War.
Ha!
If only I cared about any of them anymore.
Womp womp. So, want to discuss our last topic for just a little bit?
Yeah, let's move on to some
single card discussion? Ish? Single deck discussion?
We're gonna go single card discussion, because we'll be talking about... our main topic is Brudiclad, Telchor Engineer, and we're going to talk about what do we find, like, interesting, how to make him work.
So, what does Brudiclad do again, and what's his manifest?
So, again, Brudiclad, Telchor Engineer, is 4 blue red for a 4/4 legendary artifact creature artificer. Creature tokens you control have haste. At the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 2/1 blue mirror artifact creature token. Then you may choose a token you control. If you do, each other token you control becomes a copy of that token. So
what is the first thing you want to do with this deck?
obviously you're going token-centric. That's the first idea.
That's, yeah.
And of course you go wide. Because when you can turn your wide stuff into tall stuff, it works really well.
You know what's the thing that's coming to my mind? You can make Kremlin tokens like treasures and clues and things like that, and that can smack people in the face.
Yeah, that's a thing I noticed as well, like, just recently.
That, and you can also make Eldrazi signs and spawns.
Eldrazi signs and spawns, you can make random, you know, topters, you can make goblins are really easy to spawn.
So, we just need to get a couple of cheese spells and basically kicky jicky with Paradox Engine?
Because why not? So, an idea is to go full on, you know, go wide strategy, and you could actually make it look like a goblin deck.
Yeah, you just need to play a bunch of goblin producers.
And thankfully, we have a lot of goblin producers, including Storm, ones that storm. Like, Empty the Warrens.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Tempt with Vengeance makes a lot of tokens.
Mm-hmm. Rite of Replication.
Rite of Replication. And that's the finisher part.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Fodder and Krenko's Command are the easiest ones. You also have Hordling Outburst, Kuldotha Rebirth. Those are the things that make a lot of tokens really fast.
Can we play anything to stack a creature to make a bunch of creatures equal to its power or something like that? Do we have anything in red and or in blue for that?
You have that Elemental Mastery.
There we go.
Which makes what, equal to its power?
If you just put it in Broodcloud, it should be fine.
Yeah, it makes equal to the power, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. With that, you can like make just a bunch of elementals that you can turn into anything.
We also need to play the quasi... What was it?
Quasi-replicate.
Yep.
Quasi-duplicate. Wait, what?
Quasi-duplicate. Yeah, that and Captain Counterpart and things like that.
Yeah, those are the things that enable the token strategy to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a bunch of tokens, and then you need to play creatures that are actually worth, you know, copying and having a lot of.
Either that or just copying your opponent's creatures.
Yeah, I mean, but in the end, you need things that are actually worth having. So, cards like... nothing really springs to mind, except the Scuttling Doom Engine.
Combat Celebrant with Kiki Jiki.
That's decent. Hellrider is an option. When all your creatures are Hellriders, that's that's kind of painful.
Also, Shared Animosity and Code of Arms.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Go something a bit more tribalish. So,
I mean, no, because Brutica makes tokens that are copies of, you know, one creature. It doesn't matter the tribe.
Yeah. Hmm. Arcane Artisan, the one from...
Oh, yeah, the new one from...
Battle Bond. It makes a token of a card in your hand, and that works extremely well with Brutica.
Mm-hmm.
What else works really well?
Wanna hear something silly? Put Oketra's Monument in the deck.
Okay.
You're not making anything cheaper, but you're making tokens along the way.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit from the left field, but it works.
You have Krenko Mob Boss if you want to go full on Goblin.
Yeah.
Master of Waves makes a decent amount of tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Chronozoa is a funny one.
Nisha, what's the name of the really bad Tolarian Academy from Ixalan, from Rivals? Stormed Vault, or was it?
Yeah.
That makes treasure tokens, doesn't it?
When you attack with a creature, yeah, it makes a treasure token. So you can also... Oh, Brass's Bounty.
Oh, God.
So there's another way to make a bunch of tokens, so yeah. What else do we... Well, since they're all the same, you can use Mechanized Production to win the game.
Oh, that's actually really good.
Spell Swindle makes treasure tokens.
Oh, we need to play that bad thing that won me games. The guy from Eldritch Moon with the wizards, what's his name?
Oh, the insect, right?
Yeah, those are the perfection, right?
Yep.
Oh, God, he also makes these.
Meloku makes a lot of dudes as well.
Yeah, he can make dudes that you want. Sharding Sphinx.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
To get even more. I remember I had a game where I write an application to my own Sharding Sphinx, got five of them, and the number of tokens was stupid.
Oh, Phyrexian Processor makes tokens.
Oh, it makes really big tokens, doesn't it?
Yep. Remember when Phyrexian Processor was a staple in the guy that flings, the Boros guy?
Yeah, I remember.
When you can instantly just win games with the processor?
Yep.
Fun times.
That's a good... Skullclamp needs to be in the deck.
Of course, Skullclamp just goes in any deck.
Yeah, but Bruticlamp makes 2/1s. It's too good to pass.
I mean, you're making mostly 1/1s with your Krenko's Commands and your Goblin things and your Temple of Vengeance.
How about Utvara Hellkite?
Utvara Hellkite is interesting, but I think that you can actually go with better cards than Utvara Hellkite.
I know, this is just, you know, just something silly.
I mean, sure, you can make all your tokens dragons, but it's a cute trick.
It's a bit of a win more?
Mm-hmm.
Do you play Saheeli Rai in this deck?
I mean, you do, because she just... No, Saheeli Rai.
Yeah.
It's a combo enabler, so I guess you do, yeah.
Even though we can't play with a kitty cat.
Yeah, I mean, she's just here to make, you know, tokens of your really good finishers.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Also, do we just put Inferno Titan in?
Well, those are the finisher cards.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about that now.
Inferno Titan is an interesting choice. If you have Mirror Gallery, then you can use Purphoros, you know, for the lulls.
And you just play one creature?
You play one creature and everything dies. Everything just, it doesn't exist anymore.
So I hit 20 Purphoroses. I will play Dragonfather.
Sure.
Was nice knowing you all.
Yeah. Have fun.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I was scouring the net for some more inspirations, and Nevermaker is a funny card to do.
Remind me, what does he do again?
A 3 and a blue, creature elemental, 2/3 flying. It has evoke, but you're not evoking it. When Nevermaker leaves play, put target non-land permanent on top of its owner's library.
Hmm.
So when you make a bunch of tokens, you can just sack them all, and your opponent's board is now on top of their deck.
But it's only on non-land.
Oh yeah, non-land. Oh. Well, forget it then.
How about we put Tidespout Tyrant?
And turn everything into a Tidespout Tyrant.
Yes.
Now that's an idea, that's good.
Again, I cast Dragonflood.
I return everything to their owner's
hand. Holy
head.
Crap. You could play Cyclonic Rift, sure, but this is much better. Also, you play Cyclonic Rift because, of course.
It's a blue card.
Yeah.
What else do you...
But yeah, I'm seeing a skeleton of a deck that you can do, and you can make it actually pretty decent in my mind, but you just need to put enough protection from Bruticlad because everything depends on him.
Yeah. Hmm.
And you need to get him into play super fast.
Are there... So, of course, your obligatory mana rocks and things like that, but... What are our like alternate win conditions? Do we even have them?
Kiki Jiki Combat Celebrant?
Yeah.
That's a thing. What else did we say?
I mean, Rite of Replication on a good creature is just,
you know, definitely.
It just combos by itself.
Hell Rider we wanted.
Yeah, but again, Hell Rider depends on Bruticlad.
No, not necessarily, because we're going to have enough token generation as is.
Yeah, but he isn't really that reliable of a finish.
In that case, something like Goblin Bombardment?
Yeah, Goblin Bombardment could work. You mean just combine Goblin Bombardment with Hellrider?
I mean, even if you just have Krenko with Goblin Bombardment.
Mm-hmm. Alternate win condition, you're actually a Goblin deck and you play Krenko in your 99.
Basically. we said the... What was it that wins the game when you have enough of the tokens?
A mechanized production.
There. That's also an alternate condition. So we actually have a couple.
Also, you know, since you're playing an artifact deck mostly, Koldota Forge Master just makes combos by itself.
Also, Koldota Rebirth, speaking of. Remember that card?
Which card?
Koldota Rebirth. One red sorcery as an initial cost, second was an artifact, put 3/1/1 red goblin creature tokens.
So you do get some ways of, you know, closing out the game
still,
without Brutica, your commander.
Yeah, Brutica is important.
He is super important, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But, I mean yeah. Impact Tremors, of course.
Impact Tremors / we did mention Purphoros to be in the deck.
Yeah.
Because we were making enough tokens as is, so... A Mimikrat.
Mm-hmm. That's another enabler.
Really important card. Really important card. Just game-wise.
Mm-hmm. Also, Back from the Brink can work, although it's a bit expensive to...
What's Back from the Brink again?
It's a 6-mana enchantment that you can exile a creature card from your graveyard and pay its mana cost, and you put a token on the battlefield that's a copy of that card.
Oh, yeah.
I used to play that in Damia.
Of course you did.
I mean, I played it until I found out about... now I forgot. It's not Mirror Gallery, it's the Hall of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hall of Dreams is just a better card.
Hall of Dreams is apparently kind of an okay card.
Yeah, especially when you dump your hand and then draw 7 cards after that.
Yeah. Also, we forgot about 2 more win conditions, the Coat of Arms and Shared Animosity.
Yeah. But you have to be more tribalish to support that.
Again, Brutal Cloud is here. If we just can get one attack out with those things.
Mm-hmm. Also, we have some nice token generation in our lands. And the most notable one is Care Keep.
Oh, God, yeah.
Care Keep, you know, usually in Zedru to make useless tokens to give away to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And Springjack Pasture, that also makes useless tokens to give to other people.
It makes goats.
Well, what did I say? So, you can use those tokens to make them into good tokens.
Okay, any other hidden gems you have?
I mentioned Prototype Portal last episode. I mean, that's pretty much it. Once you find some way to create a lot of tokens and then get some protection up for Broodyclad, you can use... There's a lot of options to make actual copies of your currently non-token creatures to turn them into token creatures.
Yep.
Like Felden of the Third Path, for instance.
Oh yeah, he's a bro.
He's the broest of.
And she will come back to him.
And of course, Ancient Stone Idol is another kind of enabler. For
you
the
really
deck.
Like that guy. You really like that guy.
No, it's just that he's here, and he fits the rest of the deck because we're going white, so he's pretty much free to cast.
Yeah.
You have Sacrifice Outlets because you need Sacrifice Outlets, and you can turn your guys into 6/12 guys.
Oh, just randomly, not speaking about Broodyclad, you know what's a play ahead today? I'm having Elish Norn out, and she's torturing everybody, and Tess finally gets the Source to Plowshares. Points it at her, and I had to respond with actually playing Terminate on Elish Norn. Just so I could Karmic Guide her back next turn. I was having really good plans of killing her Saskia, but no. I had to kill my own creature. Anywho, think you're fine with the deck that we mentioned now?
Think
you'll actually build something like that out of your card now that you actually got the deck.
Oh no, that deck isn't mine. I got the Jund and Esper decks.
Oh, right then.
I prefer making, commanders out of, actually no, I'm lying. I was going to say that I prefer making commanders out of not commander material commanders. So not from the precons, but who am I kidding? Of course I like using them as well.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm waiting to see what Ravnica will give me for my Izzet commander, unless I already have. Don't think so.
Maybe new Izzet again.
We'll see what the new one will offer.
Yeah, because there will be a new Izzet.
Also, there will be another one, because we're going to get a total of, it looks like, 9? No, we can't. We already have... We're probably going to get, like, 9 commanders from...
Ooh.
This set, because we're gonna get the guild leaders, and we're gonna get the well, the lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
And since Golgari's guild leader is Vraska, and she's a planeswalker, we won't be getting her as a commander, because they're not going to put the words Vraska can be your commander in a standard set. Because, you know, Brawl already has the rule.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because since they like their Brawl so much, they'll work a bit harder to make good commander cards. I mean, legendary cards, which is good for commander.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray. Hooray for Brawl.
Indeed. So, we're done for tonight?
Yep.
Okay, any parting words?
Eat your veggies, kids.
And remember, kids, if you want Palladium Ores, just contact us.
Sure.
And...
Rid me of my misery.
Well, this has been episode 78 of the Elder Dragon Turtle podcast. This has been your host, Igor.
And this was Niksha.
That is right, your name is Niksha. And as always, the Emperor protects.
Surely.